The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
This episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast is brought to you by Tick Pick. The Dodgers are in their second half run right now, and if you're looking to be a part of the magic for this 2024 World Series run, go ahead and download the Tick Pick app right now, because who wouldn't want to miss part of the action to see your Los Angeles Dodgers chase, hopefully, a World Series? So if you're looking for the best prices out there, no service fees at checkout, no hidden fees and all that BS, best prices compared to all the other ticket sites, TickPick has you covered. And it's not only just Dodgers baseball. NFL is not that far away. If you want your NFL season tickets, you can go to TickPick. If you got your favorite band or artist coming to your favorite city nearby, I do it all the time. I go to see my favorite artist. All on TickPick. And like I said, best, cheapest prices out there.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's going on, Dodger fans? Hope you're doing well out there, other than watching this atrocious loss that the Dodgers just suffered to the Houston Astros. I'm really excited to be joined by Michael Duarte once again, who was here about a year ago. And Michael, thank you so much for coming back on the Incline Dodgers podcast. I want to give you credit because last time you were on this show, I am pretty sure you had hinted that the Dodgers had strong interest in Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly. And then just a couple days later, that trade came to fruition.
Yeah, and I, you know, even if it's just once a year, if it's an annual thing, me coming on this show, there is no better time in the major league season to talk Dodgers, in my opinion, than the trade deadline. It's always an exciting time for fans. It is the last chance, especially with the waiver trade deadline, you know, being removed. So it's the last chance to improve the team, improve the club. The Dodgers are in a good position here heading into the trade deadline, so any improvements would be great. But look, we're not, this has been a roller coaster ride of a season. There's been a lot of ebbs and flows. I don't think anybody expected the injuries we had, the losing streaks we've had, the level of play at times being as poor and paltry as it has been. And so any chance to improve the team, plug up some of those holes, and make a push to win the World Series is an exciting time. And for me, you know, over the last 3 weeks or so, getting to reach out to sources and try to confirm some of these rumors that you're seeing and gauge things, I kind of backed out of trying to be first anymore, just from what it is. But I do love connecting with sources and finding out just where everything is. And so, yeah, if I can get close or if I can throw some names or some talks out there that end up coming to fruition for fans, then that's good. And you know, when you announced that we were going to come on this live stream and this podcast during the game, I saw a lot of comments about, can we talk about what if the Dodgers don't end up getting these big names we talk about? What if they only end up, you know, improving upon the margins or getting some names that fans don't know about? So hopefully we'll get into that too. I know I'll be able to kind of talk about that with you and discuss that with you. What happens to the Dodgers and what are their chances if they don't get the big fish that so many fans want them to get?
Sounds great. Yeah, I'm really excited to get into all that. But for those of you who don't know who Michael is, he's a writer and reporter for NBC LA. I follow his work. He covers the Dodgers. He covers the Lakers. He covers the Rams, as well as other Los Angeles teams. And of course, with the Olympics just happening, I'm sure Michael's involved in that as well. So any thoughts on this Paris Olympics that just had its opening ceremony today?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I don't know if you guys got to watch that rainy Olympic ceremony, but Paris is one of my favorite cities in the world. I have this walking tour that I've created when I go there that goes along the Seine River. It actually starts at the Notre Dame Cathedral and this old rental house that Shakespeare used to write in. And then it kind of leads everywhere and it ends at the Eiffel Tower. So getting to watch all of the athletes, not just the U.S. athletes, come down the Seine River in these boats and all the performances that went on, ending with Celine Dion and the French culture and having it in the rain, which is like nothing's more romantic than mm-hmm. Paris in the rain. It was very cool for me. I got very little sleep last night because it started so early for us here on the West Coast. But that was really exciting to watch and kind of like a warm up for me to then get into this Dodgers game, which was a big letdown compared to what we saw in that opening ceremony. But I'm going to be excited, you know, a couple of weeks from now when the closing ceremony happens and the torch gets passed to us here in Los Angeles 4 years from now, where I will be a big part of that Olympic coverage, provided I am and hopefully will still be with NBC at that time. And if I'm fortunate enough to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. And for us here in Los Angeles to guest to host the world for such a big event. And then following that, obviously, we're going to have the World Cup. So we're going to get to host that as well. So this is pretty exciting time with the Olympics going on. And I'm excited to watch to see if the U.S. men's basketball team can make it five straight in a row, especially watching these photos of LeBron James holding the flag on that boat and the comparisons to George Washington crossing the Delaware. I absolutely am here for those memes and for those photos. And so I hope that LeBron can lead not just Team USA to their fifth straight goal, but then hopefully the Lakers coming up this season with his son on the team too.
Yeah, the opening ceremony was very beautiful, unlike this Dodgers game today where I think the Dodgers had a season high in strikeouts, 15, and they were shut out for the fifth time, which is already more than what they did in 2023. But yeah, speaking of Paris, I was in Paris for the first time of my life just a couple months ago. So it was really cool to get to see it all on the big screen today and see all the sights, the Seine River, the Eiffel Tower, the way that laser show was. Celine Dion was spectacular. Gojira, the metal band with the flames, that was sick as well. So yeah, I'm excited about this Olympics and it should be a fun ride. But yeah, Michael, this game was hideous. The Dodgers got shut out by the Astros. I don't really know if there's much to talk about this game other than Kevin Biggio was Mr. Frozen up there again, taking strike threes down the middle. Every time the Dodgers seemed to have an opportunity with runners in scoring position, they faltered. Kike Hernandez had a base running blunder where he overran the second base bag. Miguel Vargas didn't hustle to home plate. That cost the Dodgers a run. But yeah, it was an ugly game, and Gavin Stone has kind of struggled ever since his shutout against the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a very poor level of play, and I apologize to Dodgers fans everywhere. This is not what you want to see. I'm glad you talked about the strikeouts. Framber Valdez, though, has been pitching great for Houston. I think they've won like his last six starts. So I was looking at the pitching matchups going into this series, and for fans who, you know, momentum is a real thing, especially in-game momentum, but the age-old adage is that momentum is only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And as great as Gavin Stone has been for the Dodgers this year, arguably a National League Rookie of the Year finalist, I hope by when all things are said and done. And he's really picked up the Dodgers when they've had so many injuries, especially to the starting rotation. He is the only guy that was in that opening day rotation that arguably wasn't expected to be in the opening day rotation. If Emmett Sheehan hadn't gone down and other guys not been hurt, he wouldn't have even been in the opening day rotation based on his performance last season. But he ends up being in the opening day rotation, and heading into the All-Star break, he was the only pitcher on the Dodgers opening day rotation still in the rotation. So he's been a workhorse. There's been a lot of pressure on him this season, and he's elevated to those levels and exceeded those expectations, but I didn't expect him to beat Framber Valdez in a hostile environment in Houston. And I didn't expect them to play as poorly, but you know, we were talking about the opening ceremony. I think it was the tail end of the opening ceremony when we got word that Freddie Freeman was going to head back from Houston to Los Angeles to be with his son, Max, who's if you've followed his wife, Chelsea's Instagram account, he's been in the hospital lately. Freddie's been going straight from the ballpark to the hospital to be with his three-year-old son. So before we get into trade deadline stuff, all thoughts and prayers and good wishes and good vibes and any positive energy we can send to Freddie Freeman's family and Max, his three-year-old son. I hope they receive that. And when we heard that, knowing we're losing another MVP in the lineup, it just didn't bode well for that matchup the Dodgers are going into against the Astros, which, you know, I heard some quotes from the Astros saying it's been 7 years, everyone's over it. But I can tell you for the guys on this team that played in that 2017 World Series, guys like Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, Clayton Kershaw, no, it's there's still a lot of bad blood. They do not like going back to Minute Maid Park. There are still animosity and hurt feelings against that team. And it goes beyond just the Dodgers players that were there 7 years ago. There's guys like Joe Kelly and Mookie Betts who played for the Red Sox. They know what happened. They lost to the Astros in the playoffs in 2017. There's a lot of teams that still don't like what happened with the Astros. And there's still a lot of hostility when they go into that building. And I can tell you emotionally, the Dodgers players, they want to beat that team. Austin Barnes told me recently, like, yeah, we want to go in there and beat those guys. But what I can say is that this series in these next couple days, the pitching doesn't really line up for the Dodgers. They're going to throw out some rookies out there against some big guns against the Houston Astros. Like I said, Framber Valdez obviously has been pitching well.
We lost Michael. Hopefully he can reconnect in just a second. But yeah, I'll take a quick pause right here and reiterate what Michael was just talking about. The Freddie Freeman news is obviously very tough for his family. And like Michael was saying, we wish the Freeman family all the best and hope and pray that everything works out in their favor. Yeah, welcome back, Michael. I know technical issues happen all the time.
I just hit the power button, so I went to sleep for a second. But yeah, I was no just worries. Saying Ronel Blanco going tomorrow on Saturday for the Astros. You know, up until Dylan Cease just 24 hours ago, he was the only one in Major League Baseball who had thrown a no-hitter this year. I don't think that bodes well for a team that just struck out a season high for the Dodgers on Friday night. But you know, those matchups are a little scary. I'm just being honest with fans. I hope we end up winning the next two games of this series over the weekend and taking the series. I think, though, we end up losing it. I hope we don't get swept, that we can salvage one, because I think the Dodgers and the front office is looking at this trade deadline and they're looking at this San Diego Padres series to open up next week in San Diego at Petco Park. The Padres have won six straight. They're now 6.5 back. Houston is trying to make a charge right now in the AL West, try to pass the Mariners, hold them off, hold off the Rangers who are getting hot. You know, they're trying to do that. So this is a tough series, but the Dodgers need to look directly at who's chasing them in the NL West, and that's the Padres. And if they line up their pitching, we're talking guys like Tyler Glasnow, Clayton Kershaw, if they line it up perfectly for that Padres series, that's the more important series that the Dodgers need to win. That's the one that they're looking at, because if they can extend more of a gap between them and the Padres behind them and kind of go into cruise control here in the West, especially after the trade deadline, that's more important than beating the hated Astros.
I agree 100%. I knew coming into the season the Padres were going to be sneaky, and it looks like Dylan Cease, who is their big starting pitcher acquisition, is really coming into a hot zone right now, obviously with the no-hitter. And once they get Fernando Tatis Jr. back in the lineup, they should really start to just fire on all cylinders. Jerks and Profar has had an all-star season and has just been on fire. Who would have saw that coming? But he's really been carrying the load with Machado, Cronenworth, and Tatis not being up to par. Okay, Michael, so I'm getting a million questions every day, and a big theme on this show is that the Dodgers need starting pitching, and I'm in that camp. We've heard Garrett Crochet, a name that the Dodgers have, presumably number one on their target board. Another name that I've heard that the Dodgers are interested in is Jack Flaherty. I don't know how much momentum there is there. I've heard the Astros are also interested in Flaherty. And then after that, it's kind of a mystery. I mean, Eflin was a name, but he just got traded to Baltimore. And with the Texas Rangers now in buy mode, you can cross off Nathan Eovaldi. And so it seems like the options for the Dodgers in terms of starting pitching market might be a little thin.
Yeah, let's get into this now. This is what we're all here for. This is what fans that are in the chat are here for. So let's not waste any more time. Let's rock and roll with this. What I'll say is that I'll preface and give you a prelude, because when it comes to the Dodgers and when it comes to Andrew Friedman, he is always looking for ways to improve the team, but he's always looking to get the best deal possible. And, you know, I know Andrew Friedman gets a lot of heat from fans, especially at the trade deadline time, especially a time like last year where, you know, you needed starting pitching, you needed high end starting pitching, and you walked away with Lance Lynn and really nothing else. Fans maybe forget that they had a deal lined up for Eduardo Rodriguez. The deal was done. He was pitching like an all-star, like a front-of-the-line ace staff last year. He turned that deal down. He had a no-trade clause to certain teams. The Dodgers were one of them. The Dodgers were under the impression that he wasn't going to execute it, but he did. He didn't want to come, despite guys like J.D. Martinez and former Red Sox like Mookie Betts reaching out to him, telling him to come. They wanted him. So that was his choice. It's not Andrew Friedman's fault that that happened, but ultimately they go into the postseason, you know, with a pitching rotation of Clayton Kershaw, who we now know was pitching on a bum shoulder that needed surgery, a rookie in Bobby Miller who had never tasted the postseason, and Lance Lynn, who had given up the most home runs in Major League Baseball for a starting pitcher last season. So I can tell you with somewhat confidence, knock on wood, if everyone stays healthy, they're going to have a better starting rotation, no matter if they don't add an arm at the deadline heading into this postseason. And that's really important to know. But the point is that with the expanded playoffs, the Major League Baseball trade deadline has become a feeding frenzy for buyers, with only a handful of teams that are for sure sellers, which drives the price tag of the best talent available extremely high up. And so a guy like Andrew Friedman will make the calls, will find out what it takes, will run the numbers, will run it past his analytic team to see if a deal can be had. But he's not going to overpay and oversell and blow up this farm system, which has always been in the top 10 during his tenure, for a guy that he can then go out and get in the offseason via a trade or free agency and then improve the team a few months from now. We saw that happen last year. He didn't go out and get some of the big arms that were on the market. And instead, he goes out and gets Yamamoto. He gets Shohei Ohtani. He could have maybe traded for Shohei Ohtani if he'd given the Angels a Godfather offer, though I don't think that they were going to trade him to the Dodgers. But he's capable of doing that with the farm system the Dodgers have and the money that they have. But if you can wait and just get Shohei Ohtani without having to give up those prospects. And I can tell you one of the reasons why Shohei Ohtani signed this big 10-year contract to come to the Los Angeles Dodgers worth over $700 million is because he knew the farm system was good, that the Dodgers were going to be good throughout that decade that he was going to be on the team, and they're going to give him an opportunity to play in the playoffs and win a World Series each and every year. And so it's important that the Dodgers don't blow up the farm for a rental or for maybe a guy like Garrett Crochet, if that's what it's going to cost and take. So, but he is going to be in on everybody. And talking to Brandon Gomes last week, Brandon Gomes said, they're looking for an impact type arm. So right now, so I see some of these fans, what's more important, a big bat, a starting pitcher, a relief pitcher? Right now for the Dodgers, starting pitching is front of mind. It is the most important thing they'd like to acquire at the trade deadline. I know that sounds crazy considering they just DFA'd James Paxton, arguably, you know, then trading him today to the Boston Red Sox, getting something out of that, which is nice to see, then just letting him go for nothing. But he basically was a guy that they needed to be a workhorse to eat up innings for this team, to provide a start every 5-6 days. And he went out and did that. And the Dodgers are getting healthy somewhat with the starting pitching. And so he became a little expendable. So now it'll be interesting to see what they do. Yes, we know the Dodgers need starting pitching, but so do the Baltimore Orioles. So do the Philadelphia Phillies. So do the New York Yankees. So do the Houston Astros, who they're facing right now. That means you got 5-6 teams that desperately need starting pitching, and there's only, that I can count, maybe 5 or 6 teams that are 100% for sure sellers as we have this conversation right now live. Those are, of course, teams like the White Sox, the A's, the Angels, probably the Blue Jays, though I'm hearing from sources they don't really want to blow it up. They just kind of want to retool and run it back next year, thinking that this might just be a down year for them. That's why a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I don't think gets moved. I don't think Bo Bichette gets moved, though that's a guy the Dodgers have had talks with and asked them about. And then obviously the Marlins, the Rockies, and the Nationals are probably sellers. The Cubs maybe in between because they want to compete next year. They could make a second half push as well. So those are all front of mind. And now you look at, you're going to get in a bidding war for the two high-end pitching talents that are available in Garrett Crochet and
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Scoble from the Tigers, who arguably might run away with the AL Cy Young Award this year. So right. You're going to have a lot of buyers going for Scoble and Crochet. Those are the two top guys. My opinion, I don't know. I could see both of those guys getting traded for the right offer. I can also see them both staying. Crochet for the White Sox is an interesting, and I know people want to know about what happened with his contract demands, the extension he's counting for. So this is coming from CAA Sports, his agency. CAA Sports has told teams interested in trading for him. Keep in mind, this is a guy in Garrett Crochet that's coming off Tommy John surgery.
Yep.
He has now pitched double the innings this season than he has ever before. So his workload is high. If the Dodgers acquired him, they would need to find a way to kind of do what they're doing with Glasnow a little bit, with Yamamoto, with Kershaw, with Walker Buehler, and that's limit his innings if you want him fresh for the postseason and to be able to go out there and be a game one, game two, game three starter for you in a postseason series. What CAA Sports is telling people is he won't pitch in the postseason unless he has a contract extension. Garrett Crochet, I believe, has 3 years left on his deal. Obviously, he's arbitration eligible, so they could get him for cheap, but he wants an extension. He wants that guarantee. He wants that future solidified now. This is kind of what the Dodgers did with Tyler Glasnow in the offseason. They traded for him. They gave him a long contract extension. Do the Dodgers want to do that now? I've been told from sources, general managers are completely blindsided by this news that he's not going to pitch in the postseason without a contract extension because they could have him at a really good price, you know, especially in arbitration in the years that follow, and to have to lock him up just to have him pitch in October could potentially be a deal breaker. Also, none of this was going on in the months leading up to the deadline. This has only been announced and coming from CAA Sports in the last few days. And so it's extremely frustrating for the general managers and president of baseball operations out there to hear this. I am told his trade value has taken a hit because of it. And I think similarly to what we saw with Dylan Cease and the White Sox last year, it's much more likely they trade guys like Tommy Pham, guys like Mark Canna, he's on the Tigers, but guys like Tommy Pham, maybe a guy like Michael Kopech, exactly, and wait and try to trade Crochet in the offseason when they can get a package like they got for Dylan Cease. And so just so fans are aware, if a trade for a Crochet or even a Tarik Skubal happens, that package for Dylan Cease that the Padres sent to the White Sox in the offseason, four prospects, three of which were in their top 10. That is what you would be looking at if you were the Dodgers in trying to get a guy like Crochet or Skubal back. So for fans out there, you're talking guys like Dalton Rushing, Josue de Paula, maybe a guy like River Ryan who just got called up. Maybe they want guys who they think can start now or be there next year. Maybe they're willing to take a flyer on a guy getting Tommy John like a Tony Gonsolin and Emmett Sheehan, guys that are hurt, you know, that could come back next year, like a Kyle Hurt that they know, okay, we're not competing, so let's give him time to rest, but we potentially could have a frontline starting pitcher in a couple more years. You know, another guy that might be expendable is a guy like James Altman if they want to include him in a deal for an outfielder. So these are the names that fans need to know that if you're going to get one of those high-end guys, you're going to see these guys, these top prospects for the Dodgers, head out the door and return. I know they haven't seen them compete. I've seen them in spring training, and I've seen them at some of the minor league levels. They're really good talent that I think is going to, in a few years, perform at the major league level. So it's really going to be, are they willing to put those kind of prospects in a deal? Are they willing to sign Crochet long-term? I think Skubal might be better. Just personally, But I think if you're the Tigers, yeah, you're not going to make the postseason this year, but you're kind of right there on the cusp. You're on the come up, right? If you're the Detroit Tigers, your stock is rising. And I don't know if trading, you know, maybe a perennial all-star pitcher in Skubal, potential Cy Young winner this year, is the best choice for the Tigers. He's a homegrown product. They haven't had one like that since Justin Verlander back in the day. And obviously they went to the World Series with Verlander by adding Scherzer and pitchers around him. So maybe they want to keep Skubal as well. But there's going to be a bidding war between those teams I mentioned, Orioles, Phillies, mm-hmm. Yankees, Dodgers, and Astros for these pitchers. So that leads to what I'm reading here in the chat. Where do the Dodgers go if they decide to not pull the trigger on those front-end starting pitchers? Where do they look for in return? I know they've had talks with the Cubs on Jameson Taillon. He's a guy that has 2 years left, so it's going to cost you something. But he's a guy that could be available. Jack Flaherty makes the most sense to me. You mentioned it, Kevin, earlier. He's a rental. He's just for a couple months. You know, he had a down year with the Cardinals the last couple years. Dodgers like reclamation projects. The Tigers definitely would move him to get something. He's not like Skubal in that sense. You know, he's on a one-year deal. So absolutely, they'd move him since they're not competing. I think he's perfect fit for the Dodgers based on what their situation is currently. And that is, we have Glasnow back. You have Kershaw back. You got some rookies like Gavin Stone, River Ryan, guys pitching well. You got Bobby Miller in the minors trying to season it out, figure it out. Maybe he'll be good or not. You got supposedly Yoshi Yamamoto, able to come back around August. And you have Walker Buehler ready to go on a rehab assignment like ASAP anytime. That will also be ready around mid to late August. So you potentially have, knock on wood, if healthy, a really, really good starting pitching rotation of, if everyone remains healthy, of Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto probably game two, and Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler 3 and 4. And then you can bolster your bullpen down the stretch and even in the postseason by moving guys like Gavin Stone to the bullpen, and Jack Flaherty to the bullpen. So really my opinion is, if you're not going to be able to land an elite front-end starting pitcher, getting a guy like Jack Flaherty allows you to eat up innings now, give you quality starts, hopefully go deep into games, reset and rest your bullpen, hopefully get some wins, maybe go 7, give you 10 starts, 7-3, 8-2 would be great for a guy like Jack Flaherty. You know, maybe move him into the pen or have him in a hybrid role in the postseason as possible, something that Crochet is not willing to do, we're told. And that allows you to give more of a runway to get healthy for guys like Walker Buehler and Yamamoto and Kershaw to figure it out, hoping that those guys will be ready. If you have any indication, if you're the front office, that all four of those guys I just mentioned aren't going to be able to pitch in the postseason. Like if we don't know what Kershaw's shoulder is going to do, or if Buehler can come back and be the Buehler of old.
That's the one I'm wondering about. He just gave up 4 runs over, I think, 8 hits in AAA today.
Yeah, exactly. He's been tweaking his mechanics. I just feel like knowing him, he's a guy that he's a big game guy. He's going to rise when the moment is the brightest. It just seems like that's what he does. But yeah, that's a big question mark. The other thing is, if Kershaw can give you something, you don't need him. If you can get a guy like Jack Flaherty, you don't necessarily need him, and you can give him some time to rest and you know, call it a season, and maybe you'll be able to get him back on a really cheap deal next year, because this was supposed to be the Walker Buehler free agency year where he was going to have a big year, and it just hasn't panned out. Last few things I'll say is starting pitching. Eric Fetty's another guy. He's got a year left, so it's going to cost you a little more, but he's a name that I know the Dodgers have asked about. Okay. If you want to buy into this Japanese coming that's been happening at Dodger Stadium and with the team, you already have two. Why not go get a guy like Kikuchi too? He's a free agent. He'd be a rental. Make it the 3 Japanese superstars here. That's an option. Oh, and the last thing I would say, I don't think it's going to happen, but the Dodgers were in on Blake Snell in the off season. The Giants now are falling further back in the wild card. He's only on a 2-year deal. If they want to improve, they could move him. I just don't see Farhan or the Giants wanting to move him within the division. And I do think ultimately with them getting healthy around the right time also, they're going to try to make a push for the wild card. But that's another name that I've heard the Dodgers would be interested in.
All right. Awesome. Well, you brought up pretty much all the names that I was going to ask you about comments on Kikuchi. This feels like Lance Lynn all over again. I really hope it doesn't happen. He's just too inconsistent for my book. And then I was going to ask, because I've heard some rumors about him being on the market, and then I see the chat asked about him. With Blake Snell, I have heard the same, that the Dodgers were in on him in the offseason. I don't know where they stand at this moment in time. It wouldn't shock me if they at least called the San Francisco Giants. But from what I can speculate, it sounds like Farhan Zaidi is going to get fired in the offseason, barring some miracle Giants run. So does this guy really care if he can make some type of legacy and send Blake Snell to the Dodgers and get a haul back? Is there some embargo there? Would this be like a huge no? Would the ownership veto it? Or could they get this done if they set themselves up for a foundation, at least for the future, if they get a sexy return?
Look, I know Farhan very well. He is the fantasy football champion of the Los Angeles Dodgers when he was here. He is unbeatable because he's almost like a robot. He doesn't look at players and stuff. This is an MIT graduate, big numbers guy. I don't think he will have the emotion that people in the Giants ownership will have, people, you know, within the organization would have about trading a Blake Snell to the Dodgers. I don't think Farhan Zaidi would. However, I just really don't see it happening. And with them trying to be so active in free agency, trying to sign Ohtani, Yamamoto, Correa the year before that, and it not panning out, going and getting a Matt Chapman, going and getting a Robbie Ray, they're trying to compete. They're not trying to necessarily retool or reload. They have Blake Snell back next year. They could. Blake Snell's a great second half pitcher, and I think he's going to turn it on in the second half. And I think they think that if Robbie Ray can do what Robbie Ray can do, and Blake Snell can do what he can do, and Logan Webb continues to pitch the way he's pitching, they have a shot at a wild card spot. I don't think Farhan, though, would be against trading for the Dodgers, especially if there's guys that maybe he was a part of when they drafted or signed that he thinks could help the team. I just think it'll get vetoed, and I think the stance from the Giants will be to try to chase a wild card spot and not trade Snell per se, unless there are teams who get really desperate. And we're just talking about starting pitching here. We'll go into the outfielders and infielders and relief pitchers next. But for me, really what it's going to come down to, guys who are watching this, this is why I think Jack Flaherty kind of ends up being the perfect choice. And yes, it's going to feel like Lance Lynn all over again. The difference was Lance Lynn was a guy you needed to be like a game one, two, or three starter for you in the playoffs, where a Jack Flaherty probably wouldn't even be in the rotation if you're fully healthy and guys are pitching the way they're supposed to. But I think Skubal is doable if the Dodgers give him a godfather offer. If they really look at this and say, look, we're willing to get 3 years of potentially a Cy Young caliber front end guy to add with Ohtani and Yamamoto and Glasnow moving forward, that means they're probably going to let Walker Buehler go in free agency and other guys. Then you're talking about they'd be willing to include Rushing, DePaula, maybe like a Nick Frasso, a River Ryan, all in this kind of deal. And if they gave him a godfather offer like that, that's what it's going to take. And you're really depleting your farm system if you decide to do that. But you would have a nasty rotation in the years to come if Ohtani can come back and be the pitcher he was. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I don't know, to me, just looking at it, I kind of think Flaherty makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Flaherty lines up the most, but I've been talking about Skubal for weeks now, and there's no prospect in this system right now that I would deem untouchable if it were to get us back Skubal. Like you said earlier, front runner right now for the AL Cy Young, under team control for a couple more seasons to follow. And just the fact that when he pitched against the Dodgers, he hit 100 miles per hour on the radar gun, and he's a lefty. So he adds versatility and a different look in the Dodgers rotation. And we haven't really had a big lefty since when Clayton Kershaw was in his prime, honestly. So I think the Dodgers are intrigued, and we'll see what happens. So thank you, Michael. I think that covers the pitching. Really appreciate it. And Trey B is going to help us transition this right now. So do we think the Dodgers will target another infielder with Max Muncy still out with his injury? So I kind of want to start off with this note. The Angels appear to be sellers. Some speculate that there's a kind of a soft or hard embargo from the Angels side of things with the Dodgers, that they won't trade with the Dodgers, although in the past they've worked out a couple moves. So I'm not sure how much I buy into that. From what I've heard,
softly out there, Luis Renjifo is a name that the Dodgers want. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's someone you've heard or if this is something that we should buy into.
Yeah, so first I would say Artie Moreno hates the Dodgers. I think fans would have been more happy had he just gone through with selling the team and there would be new ownership in there because I think it'd be much better for the Dodgers trade prospects to have him. Yes, you're right. They've made some small deals before. Then they made that big deal that included like Ross Stripling, Jock Peterson that completely fell apart. And I know that really pissed Artie Moreno off because they could have got back into it, but he refused to come back into it. So there are the Angels are definitely sellers. And I think that there are players that would fit perfectly with the Dodgers. I have heard about Renjifo, and we'll get into that here in just a second. You know, one thing that fans may or may not know, the land in Woodland Hills, California, that the Los Angeles Rams just purchased, that Stan Kroenke just purchased, which is now going to be the new training facility, office spaces, fan zones, restaurants, all of that, which is a great space there kind of by the Warner Center in Woodland Hills. The Dodgers wanted to buy it and they wanted to move their single A affiliate in Rancho there and have a minor league park there in Woodland Hills, 30, 40 minutes from Dodger Stadium. You could go do your rehab assignments and be back at the game if you wanted to. Wouldn't be far of a drive. The city was on board. Eric Garcetti, the mayor, was on board. Everyone was on board about the Dodgers buying that land and building a minor league stadium there and then creating like a little Dodger land and shopping and all this stuff. Artie Moreno was the one who blocked it. It makes absolutely no sense because Rancho is closer to Anaheim than Woodland Hills would be. But if he has any possibility of effing the Dodgers over, he takes it every time. He did it there. I would have loved it. I would have lived in Calabasas up until last year. I would have loved to be able to be 2 minutes away from the single A affiliate, especially if the Dodgers were out of town. But he blocked it. So, and he did not want to renegotiate the deal that would have had Ross Stripling and Jock Peterson head to the Angels a couple years ago. So, yeah, it's going to be tough to trade with the Angels if Artie Moreno has the final say is all I'm saying there, Kevin.
Yeah.
But let's go into the, Trey, I think. Yeah. Maybe, Trey's question was, right? I just saw Max Muncy, Wednesday night. He looked good. He was moving good. He gave me a thumbs up. I think he's going to be able to come back. I think they're giving him more of a runway, but let's be honest here. They have filled Max Muncy's role defensively, but his offensive output, you know, a guy can give you 30 plus home runs a year. You're filling it with Kayvon Biggio. You're filling it with Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez.
Yep.
This is like covering a bullet wound with a Band-Aid. It just, you can't do it. And you're not going to get the same production, especially offensively, from Max Muncy. And in my opinion, it's no coincidence that these ebbs and flows the Dodgers have been on have been since Max Muncy has come out of the lineup. Because that lineup with Max Muncy and Teoscar Hernandez and Andy Páez when he came up was just so deep and so lethal, and there was no easy out in sight. Now, if you can get through the first four guys, you can navigate it a little bit better. So to answer the question, do I think they're going to go get a third baseman? No, with Muncy coming back. But the biggest question here is the Dodgers, do they go get an outfielder? Or do they go get an infielder and give up on the Mookie Betts at shortstop experiment and move Mookie Betts back to the outfield? I have tried my best to get Andrew Friedman to tell me something on this, to get him to crack. He hasn't done it. I'm just looking at it the way fans are looking at it, which is the Mookie Betts at shortstop experiment has been a struggle for Mookie. He's admitted it. He's made a lot of mistakes and errors. He's been a little bit of a defensive liability at that position. We understand it because he's learning a position for the first time since high school. And now the guy breaks his hand and he's going to be out for 2 months. We're looking at end of August, probably, though encouraging sign for fans is Mookie is now finally swinging a bat. He's taking grounders. The cast is off his hand. So, you know, things are looking good with him. But do you throw him back into the fire at shortstop, having missed 2 months, which is 2 months of him being able to learn that position more and more? Or do you say, look, we can't give extra outs to opposing teams and potentially extra base runners and extra runs in the postseason when runs are at a premium and one mistake can be the difference between winning and losing a series, as we've seen with the Dodgers. So I think they want to put Mookie back at shortstop. That's kind of what I've felt. And I think they'd rather go get a guy like Luis Robert Jr. now. I know they were in on Randy Arozarena. They really wanted him. They've cut deals with Tampa before. They were talking about potentially multiple deals with Tampa. And by multiple, I mean like multiple players in a deal. So now you maybe pivot back to the White Sox and you talk about, can we get something done where you're going to give us Crochet and Luis Robert Jr. Or Michael Kopech and Luis Robert Jr. And it's crazy to think about this guy, Luis Robert Jr., hadn't even performed in the major leagues yet, got a 6-year, 50-plus million deal with the White Sox, and now here we are 3-4 years later, and they're willing to trade him. He has 3 years left on his deal, so that might cost you a lot of prospects in return. I know he struggled a little bit at the plate this year. That's the thing. Do the Dodgers want to go get Luis Robert Jr., which I've been told, yes, they're having conversations about. Do they want to go get him knowing he's going to be there, you know, for 3 more years in your outfield when you maybe want to re-sign Teoscar Hernandez and figure out some things? You know, when Otani's healthy, maybe they move him to the outfield for a game or here or there. It's been talked about. So I don't know. It's interesting to see if you're just going to kind of go get a guy that you're going to have to put in the outfield every day for 3 years when you have a lot of guys that you could get in free agency, guys you could re-sign like Teoscar, and guys that are currently on your team up and coming. So that's going to be the big question to that answer is, are they going to go get an infielder or are they going to get an outfielder? And to me, it's really, what are you going to do with Mookie Betts? Because if you say, hey, we'll go get a shortstop or a utility infielder and we'll move Mookie to right and we'll platoon him with Jason Hayward and put Mookie at second and let Lux bat only against right-handed pitching, then that creates some different opportunities for you where you can go get a guy like Luis Rengifo. You can go get a guy like Nico Horner on the Cubs. We're talking about the Blue Jays. I don't think they trade Bo Bichette or Vladimir Guerrero, but I think they trade Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. I think they trade Kevin Kiermaier. He's a free agent. He's a rental.
He's going to retire.
That's a guy the Dodgers wanted. Yeah. So there are options if you don't go with the big names. And here's another one I'm throwing out there. You like when I throw out those names. Ahmed Rosario on the Rays. Rental option. Played for the Dodgers last year. Can play multiple positions in the infield. If you want to give up on the Kevin Biggio experiment, if you want to DFA Nick Ahmed at some point, Ahmed Rosario is a guy that knows the organization. He can play second or short. He can give you some flexibility on the infield and maybe let Mookie go be that bat that you need in the outfield by putting him out in right field. Those are some infield options I could see the Dodgers doing potentially. And if you can't go get a guy like Bo Bichette, like I don't think is going to happen. I don't think he gets dealt. Then maybe that's a better way to go. If you're the Dodgers, letting Mookie go out there and go get a guy who can play really good defensive shortstop and can hit the ball a little bit as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Tommy Pham, they just said. Tommy Pham's another name they're interested in.
All right.
I agree as well. And Jesse Winker, Taylor Ward, Mark Canna, these are all outfielders that they could get that are not Luis Robert Jr. level. Second tier level, I'd say, Kevin. Yeah. But most of them are rentals. Winker's a rental. Pham is a rental. Canna is a rental. Kiermaier's a rental. I think that's what the Dodgers would prefer to do than give up the farm for Luis Robert and have to be stuck with him for 3 years if he struggles.
Yeah, so what my gut's saying and what I'm seeing is that the Dodgers are going to probably add at least one infielder and one outfielder. To start with the infielders, I kind of joked in my head, like Ahmed Rosario could be an option to hear you also mention that. I'm not surprised. And then Nico Horner. Yeah, I've heard that name getting thrown out a couple times as well. That'd be interesting because he's a second baseman, but I do think he does have versatility and could play around the infield. And that maybe the Dodgers just really like his defense because I know he's a gold glover and a really A-plus defender. And then we talked about Rengifo and who knows what else. Paredes and Yandy Diaz, I think, are other names. Brandon Lowe that the Tampa Bay Rays might be willing to trade. And Kiner-Falefa from the Blue Jays as well. Feels like a Dodger-like target. Doesn't really thrill me, but checks the boxes in terms of versatility. But in terms of outfielders, I think they have to add an outfielder. I posted earlier while watching this game, I've never been scared of clowns in my life until I saw Miguel Vargas play left field. They cannot roll this out anymore. No disrespect to Vargas, because he's not even a natural outfielder, but it's just not working with him defensively. And as much as Páez has a lot of promise, there's been signs where he kind of gets rattled in center field, and it gets you a little nervous in the playoffs if there's a big play hit his way. And in terms of his offense, his bat has definitely kind of regressed as well. So I feel like they have to add at least one outfielder, because I don't think Mookie Betts wants to play right field as much as there people want to push that wish. I just don't think he's interested anymore.
Yeah, I think the Vargas and left experiment is not going to be one we're going to see much longer, let alone in October. Again, as I said, Kevin, I don't necessarily think they get an outfielder and an infielder. I think they really need to make that decision with Mookie Betts, because Mookie's going to come back and he's going to be good. And if he's your everyday starting shortstop, you're going to get Miguel Rojas back. You're going to hopefully get Max Muncy back here in a few weeks. Gavin Lux is finally starting to turn a corner, it seems, at the plate. He just won an NL Player of the Week. He's hitting over 300 the last few games, last week plus since the second half of the season. If he can keep doing that, I don't think you necessarily need an infielder then. That's assuming you're saying Muncy's are going to be our third baseman, Mookie's our shortstop, Miguel Rojas is backing him up. Now we have Kike and Chris Taylor that can go in the outfield. I think they're better defenders, clearly, than Miguel Vargas. And maybe then you don't get an infielder and you see about an outfielder that we said, especially a rental, maybe a platoon guy. If you can't go get a guy like Luis Robert Jr., I think that's the biggest name for the Dodgers right now, as far as an outfielder is concerned. We talked about Scoble and Crochet in the starting pitching. That's the top level. And then Flaherty would be like the level below. The top level of outfielder is Luis Robert Jr. If they can get him in a package deal with like a Copic, like we said, great. If not, then you look at the other tier, lower level guys, guys that are rentals like we talked about. Or maybe you say, hey, we're going to go with a shortstop at the deadline instead, and we're going to move Mookie back to the outfield, and we're going to solve that problem that way. So once they figure that out, I think it'll be one or the other. But I don't think with that level one shortstop being available, like a Bo Bichette, I don't think he's going to be traded, and other guys of that level not there. I probably think the Dodgers will stick with the Mookie experiment, and like you said, go get an outfielder. Either that, if they can't get level one in Luis Robert, they'll go get like a level two guy, a rental.
All right. Awesome. Well, I want to be sensitive to Michael's time, so I'm going to give the chat right now a few questions if they have anything good for us, and we'll do some quick rapid fire. And while we wait for those chats to load, we didn't really talk relief pitchers.
Yeah, that's next, and that's the last one, I guess.
All right. Well, let's do that while the chat's loading up their questions. So we talked about Kopech. I feel like he's a strong possibility. I don't think Tanner Scott's going to happen just because the demand seems too crazy with all the buyers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox being buyers, I don't think Kenley Jansen and that reunion's a possibility now. And yeah, I guess that's really it. In Tampa Bay, they might have a reliever or two for us. Anything else I'm missing?
Yeah, so top of the line is Mason Miller. He just went on the IL, which complicates things. I was told the Dodgers definitely asked about him, I was told. I don't necessarily think the A's want to trade him, though, per se. The move to Sacramento is happening, and the move to Vegas. He's a great guy under team control, making very little money. So I don't necessarily know if he goes anywhere, but he's your high level guy as far as the relievers are concerned that they've talked about. A name I've been throwing out for weeks was Yimi Garcia, but he just got moved. And that's only because, again, he's an old Dodger. They love old Dodgers. He's familiar. So right now, the names that I've been hearing from sources, Tanner Scott, as you said, those talks have actually heated up a little more recently. I think probably because some relievers have come off the board here in the last couple days, last 24, 48 hours. Carlos Estevez is another guy in the Marlins available. Michael Kopech, we talked about, if you can swing a deal for multiple players with the White Sox, that's an option. I'm going to throw out another weird name at you, though, Kevin. You know, I like to do that because it's maybe guys that aren't on the radar. Kyle Finnegan with the Nationals, and maybe a reunion with Shelby Miller. You know, we had him here last year. He was a reclamation project for the Dodgers. He worked out. He's available, in my opinion. He's with the Tigers. The Tigers are going to be sellers. That's a guy that's potentially available. But look, your best trades, your best way to, I don't want to say trades, but your best way to improve the bullpen is by getting Brusdar Graterol back, which is coming up here in the next couple of weeks, getting Michael Grove back coming up in the next couple of weeks, getting Ryan Brazier back, which is on the heels of those moves. So you can really bolster your pen just by getting guys healthy than necessarily needing to trade someone, because I don't think that for sure closer is available outside of Mason Miller with the A's. And if that's the case, then maybe you go this closer by rotation kind of situationally, or closer they've been doing over the last several weeks, where it's not Evan Phillips, but he might pitch in a high leverage situation, the sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth. And you could go Vesia in the ninth. You can go Daniel Hudson in the ninth. You can go Blake Treinen in the ninth. So if that's the case, and now you have Bruiser Gratterall, Ryan Brazier coming back, and if you go into the postseason and you can move a Gavin Stone into the bullpen, you can fix that way. So I think they go get one guy, and I think it's just going to be a kind of a middle-level guy, innings eater, while they get healthy.
Makes sense. All right, first up, I'm going to call you Taylor Ains. So, Michael, have you heard any interest in Lane Thomas or Brent Rooker?
I have heard other teams have interest in Lane Thomas and Brent Rooker. I know the Phillies were calling about both of those guys, and I just don't see the Dodgers pulling the trigger on those guys. Brent Rooker's an interesting one. I actually think the Phillies might end up with them, though I don't know if this most recent trade to get Hayes puts a pin in that. But I think one of those two guys ends up with the Phillies. I don't think the Dodgers end up with either, but I know those guys are available, and calls are being made on both of them.
UCLA Lakers, thoughts on Cody Bellinger?
Cody's hurt at the moment. I don't know. I think if you're the Dodgers, yes, but I just don't know if it's something that the Cubs want to do, or the front office wants to do, or even Cody would do himself, though with his family and stuff, I think he'd want to come back. I just think he was a little hurt at the way the situation ended with him. The money they gave him, even though he ended up with about the same amount of money anyways in Chicago last year than the Dodgers would have given him had they met his arbitration number. So, the number that they needed to bring him back. So the qualifying offer number. So I don't know. I know fans want it. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. I think that bridge is forever burned. Looks like this might be the last question coming from Dark Saints.
I'll say this, Kevin. I don't think it's forever burned. His mom moved out here recently. His sister and his brother-in-law, her husband live here in LA now. They have kids. Their kids love playing together. I do think there is some, fence mending that needs to occur first, but because he's close, family's here, he's close to where he grew up, I think a reunion could be possible at some point. I just don't think it happens at the deadline and with him being hurt.
Okay, good to know. Final question looks like from Dark Saints. If you could put a guess percentage on Luis Robert Jr. being a Dodger, what would your number be?
Yeah, I hate putting percentages on things. I would say right now, though, the Dodgers would be the favorite. If Luis Robert gets traded, they would be the favorite to land him, especially if it can be in a package deal with a Crochet, which I don't see perhaps because it's just so many prospects for those two guys in the years they have. But if it's a Michael Kopech and a Luis Robert, I could see something happening with that. So I would say I can't really put a percent on it. Not very high, but I think if he gets moved, the Dodgers would be the favorites to get him.
That's fair. And then a couple people last second throwing out there, Raymond Hernandez, one of them, Ian Happ.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything on Ian Happ. I maybe, especially cause I don't know, but I haven't heard anything personally. No sources have told me they've asked about him or talked about him or anything like that.
Yeah. And he has a no trade clause, which I think makes it even more difficult to move.
Yeah. Him. And look, the Cubs, they're not full on sellers. They just don't want to go out and sell farm system guys or young guys for rentals. They're probably obviously out of it this year, though they're only a half game behind the Giants, who could be going for it, that second wild card. But I think the Cubs, especially with the way the season ended last year and stuff, I think they think they're right there. So I don't think they really want to trade all these guys.
All right. Michael, thank you so much for coming on today. I want to give you the final word. If there was anything else you wanted to promote, disclose, or talk about, throw out there while we have you on.
Nothing I really want to promote except go watch the Olympics for the next couple of weeks on NBC. It helps all of us and it's fun. This is the only time every 4 years we get excited in events like track and field, swimming, and we really get to highlight these athletes. What I'll be doing is really highlighting the athletes that are here from Southern California, that are from Los Angeles competing in the games. And so I think that if you guys and everyone watching and listening can go watch the Olympics, that would be great for me and for NBC. And then, I don't know, are there other names that anyone wants to talk about? They can talk about them, or they can hit me up on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte, and we can talk more about what I'm hearing and some of the names that are available. I know fans are throwing Paredes out in the chat. I would love that. I haven't heard it per se, but I would love that. So if you guys have further questions about the trade deadline or things, let us know. The last thing I'll say on this, Kevin, is this is the weekend that it is do or die for a lot of teams, whether they become buyers or sellers, and they're really going to try one last push before teams make that final decision. This is what happens in baseball at the trade deadline. They'll take calls on guys, they'll see what it takes, but they have not made the decision yet on if they're going to be buyers or sellers. I mean, the Rangers are a great example of that. 6 out of the wild card, but just 2.5, I think, out of the West. And we would have loved Max Scherzer to be available, maybe a reunion with him or a Nathan Eovaldi, like you said. I just don't see it happening now anymore. So I think this weekend is crucial. And I think Monday, you're going to see some more trades until then. But I think Monday, things really start to heat up. And we'll see who blinks first in some of these bidding wars for the starting pitchers we mentioned and for guys like Luis Robert Jr.
I agree 100%. It's almost like the trade deadline isn't even really the trade deadline anymore. Most of the big moves come a day or two before the actual deadline. Well, Michael, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on here. I know you're really busy. So he already talked about where to follow him. Hit him up on X or his social media, Michael J. Duarte. And he does really good work. He'll be covering the Dodgers as well as other Los Angeles teams and the Olympics. So please give him a follow. And like you said, hit him up. So thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We talked trade deadline. It was a great show. And if you like the episode, give us a like, hit the subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. So this is Kevin Kline signing out. Until next time, hopefully the Dodgers make some big trades. Peace out. Go Dodgers.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.